Thank you for listening to the media ministry of the Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church in San Diego, California. If you are blessed by what you hear and would like to help keep our little church going as a ministry partner with your cheerful gifts, please listen for instructions at the end of this message. This evening we return to Lamentations chapter 3. We were there this morning with verse 26. This evening we're going to be looking at verse 25 together. What I'd like to do again is read for you verses 22 through 26, and we're going to focus on verse 25. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Verse 26, there was our verse for this morning. Verse 25, this evening. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Let me read that one more time. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Well, again, as we mentioned this morning, we're revisiting the idea of how to wait on the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 7, Psalm 40, verse 1. A few weeks ago, we kind of started that study with the idea of waiting patiently. We're told to wait patiently. We see Christ's own words and his example in Psalm 40, verse 1 of waiting patiently. So an important how of waiting on the Lord is to wait patiently. This morning we looked at another how with verse 26 of our text, Lamentations chapter 3, and that was to wait on the Lord quietly, silently, in stillness. Tonight we look at another how. Now this one may seem a little more abstract, but really it's meant to be concrete. Tonight we listen with him, we wait with him. That's the aspect of what we're seeking tonight. We wait with him. That's another important how that I think we can easily miss and forget and overlook, that we wait with him, recognizing he's waiting with us. That is, that we are seeking him, our verse says. He's good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. So there's a bit of a parallel there, and it's not antithetical, synonymous, I think, if not synthetic, a little bit of an advancement, but essentially the idea of waiting is expressed in a how of seeking the Lord. Not just seeking out his answer somewhere as if it's out there far in the distance and we're waiting for the Lord to show up when he answers, but actually seeking him, listening right where you are, right there with you. God is good to those seeking for him while waiting by showing his good presence right there with them. Give you that as the main idea of this verse. God is good to those seeking for him while waiting by showing his good presence right there with them. Keep in mind, again, the lamenting of God's people often having to be sent away. The idea of Ichabod, think of Ezekiel, and away from the temple, and there's a sense of being distanced from God's presence, and yet there's the reality that he goes with them, and he's always with them. He goes with them and brings them through those times of discipline. He's always with his people, and in fact, the discipline is his rod, right? There's aspects of the rod and staff that are used for the sheep, too, and that is a sense of his presence. Another image of what you sang in Psalm 23 is the rod and shepherd, the rod and staff, they come for me. One of the illustrations, one of the shepherds of people that were previously shepherds of sheep was that a lot of time the shepherd, especially with their favorite sheep, will just be kind of walking, be alongside the sheep and just have the staff out and just kind of resting on the rump of the sheep. It's just a comforting thing to the sheep. It's just a reminder, I'm right here. It's just that sense of touch. that reminder of the presence there. God is there. He's always right there. And we need to be seeking his presence. Try to seek what he's doing in it, but just seeking him and his presence in the waiting. I'd like to review with you some of what we've looked at, and some I think we haven't yet. But from that Table Talk magazine, which obviously has made a big impression on me, the title of the magazine for April is Waiting on the Lord. And Aaron L. Garriott, in his article, Waiting in an Age of Instant Gratification. So we did study that together recently. I want to remind you of something he said. I was waiting on the Lord, and perhaps more importantly, with the Lord. I think that's a really important thing to think about for ourselves. I was waiting on the Lord, but more importantly, I was waiting with the Lord. He goes on to write, whether the technology is a bowl of stew or an iPad, the buy it now option in all of life may give us the illusion of control and rob us of the opportunity to wait in fellowship with God. See, we don't want to miss out on the fellowship with God in seeking him right there in our midst, waiting on what he calls us to wait on for an answer later, as he's right there with us, walking us along the way, carrying us even often as we know. Again, we can be looking ahead for God to show up with an answer down the road, and in the meantime, miss the comfort of seeing he's right there walking along with us. Just as leading Israel through the wilderness, when he said it's time to pack up the tent, they packed up the tent, went with him. When it's time to pitch the tent, they pitched the tent and stayed right there with him. And he's always right in the middle in the tabernacle in their midst. And the same is true for us now, because we saw Jesus' name this morning is Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. We wait on the Lord God of our salvation. But remember also the other name given in the Gospels for Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, especially as we're gathered together in worship. God is with us. And of course, we know if God is with us, Paul says, who can be against us? We got to be looking for him right there as we follow Jesus, who is the way along the way. Another article, William C. Godfrey. Now, he's pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. His father is Dr. Godfrey. Many of his messages we've enjoyed together with Ligonier Ministries, a retired president of Westminster Seminary, California. William C. Godfrey, in his article in the same Table Talk magazine, Waiting with God's Promises and Word, he writes this. The struggles we face as we wait do not change who God is or what he promises. If we want to abound in hope as we wait on the Lord, we must draw near to him. Or as our verse says tonight, seek him. God's good to those who wait on him, who seek him. And it's not just seeking, what are you doing, Lord, but seeking you, observing you in the doing of what you're doing right here with me. We must draw near to him. As it is often said, God never moves. We must draw closer to him. While waiting, seek the Lord's presence. That's the message for you this evening for the sermon. That's what I want to ask you to take with you tonight and apply. While waiting, you're going to be waiting. Remember what we saw in the first article, I think, of the magazine. To be human is to wait. To be creation is to wait. And in particular, Christianity is waiting, and waiting is faith applied to time. Those are some of the insights we've gotten. There's no getting around waiting. So how can we go about waiting? And in this case, seek the Lord's presence. That's the next how. Seek the Lord's presence in the waiting. Look for him. Pray, catch yourself, talk with him. You know, often an infant or a toddler begins crying in their crib because they don't recognize that mom and dad is actually right there in the room with them, or maybe right outside, and whatever they're doing right outside is usually tending to something immediately for them right in their immediate area. But as soon as they hear what, it's okay, it could even be from outside the room, but especially if we come into the room, and if it's closer, but even just in the room, it's okay, I'm right here. So often, they're consoled, they quiet down, they're in patient peace. I'm having fun observing this development with Gaius. He's only 2 months, but it's amazing how much they mature in 2 months. And lately I've watched, and he'll start crying if he's left on our bed or in the crib, and he just wants to be held. He wants to know we're there, though. And a lot of times I'm noticing now, I don't always have to pick him up. Sometimes you got to pick him up. But a lot of times now I can just kind of, hey, Gaius. And sometimes I'll touch his little belly or do something. As long as he's been well fed and there isn't something else that's the matter, it's just, I want to know you're there, you know? I mean, after all, for 9 months, I got mom's heartbeat 24/7. You know, I had a constant reminder. I'm right there and in and with her, right? And so you can imagine it's probably a pretty dramatic change of events for a little one. But I've noticed as I come up to him, hey, guys, it's okay. It's amazing how quickly he calms himself down. Oh, you're here, right? And sometimes what's really fun now is he's starting to smile. So, oh, hey, guys. And he'll start to come. And then, you know, it's usually kind of a side thing. I don't know why they do that this age. You know, and sometimes they'll start to do the kind of the happy, I can't even do the noises. But, you know, it's so neat. And it's so neat to see how he responds. And beloved, they sought out, they looked to find out the immediate, constant presence of their parents in their presence. And thus, it was a good thing for them. So too, again, another important how of how you wait for the Lord is to seek him in the waiting with you. Right there. Seek God out in your now. With you in the waiting. And recognize there's a special fellowship there together with God. And sometimes only he can be there with you in the waiting. I've never experienced it, but it comes to mind, such as when some of you had to go have an MRI. No one else really right there with you. But God is. You name your experience. I'm thinking of soldiers who may find themselves in captivity, you know, prison, solitary confinement, what have you. And no one else can, but God's there. Nothing keeps him from being there with you. God's with you in the waiting, always there for fellowship. I recall one of our Christian fellowship events a number of years ago. Forgive me for getting the name. I think a Hungarian or Russian pastor, I think Eastern Europe. I think he was in prison for something like 20 years. And he describes much of that time as the sweetest time of his life, because he would just give himself to particular focus on God's presence with him. Alone. And this is the opportunity that nobody can take from us. Romans says, if God is with us, who can be against us? Nobody can take that from us except ourselves. And we can't. He doesn't leave us, but we can take away our sense of the good experience of it by not thinking to seek him out in it. Act as if he's somewhere else and we're waiting for him to answer. There's a special fellowship there with God. Just like when we wait with one another on important things, such in a hospital waiting room. Or in the living room while dinner simmers. It's not even always a negative waiting, but there's always a sense of presence there. And we got to look for God there as well when we're waiting on things we're excited about and not think to go ahead or without him. He's with us, but it's better when we seek him and we find his good presence is actually there with us to enjoy. You know, there's a fellowship as a band of brothers, often waiting through the difficult times. Like Paul wants to know Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings. Philippians 3, verse 10. I especially want to draw to your attention what we've reviewed a bit, verses 21 to 22 here. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Again, something we need to be encouraged and reminded about, that his mercies are new every morning because of his great faithfulness, always with us as the great shepherd of the sheep. You know, we don't have to fear that we have to stay away from God and act as if he's not with us. He's with us because of mercy in Christ. Look at verse 24 in particular. The Lord, of course, the mercies are new every morning. Verse 23, his great faithfulness. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Now again, hope is very similar to the idea of wait. Sometimes the same Hebrew words are translated wait or hope. Not always, but the same idea, I'll hope. So the waiting in the Lord is with hope, right? Even as we wait in sorrow, not as the world without hope. But in particular, notice, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my inheritance, that is. The Lord is my everything. So that's why I'm going to seek him out. Because it's not just about getting to heaven, it's about being with God, which is what heaven is. Knowing the Father and the Son whom he sent. Yeah, more of heaven on earth here now, more of the advancement of the kingdom of God in my own life as I seek him out. His comfortable presence, my portion. As Psalm 16, verse 5 sings about, the Lord is my portion. I have a great inheritance, David sings about. And what is Psalm 16 all about? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, as you know, Peter preaches most of it. Jesus is risen from the dead, so we will be risen from the dead. The Holy Spirit especially is with us, of course, beloved. As our counselor, as our comforter, John chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus emphasizes, when I go, I'm going to send you the comforter, the Holy Spirit. And remember that he prays for us. He even groans for us when we don't have words. Notice it isn't even we that groan, it's he that groans in and with and for us to the Father as needed, Romans chapter 8. I mean, what is waiting so often? Does it not often involve groaning and having no words? But we can seek the Lord there. Find he's waiting with us, groaning for us even. Psalm 139, God was right there with you in your mother's womb, weaving you together as a zygote. And thus he will be right there with you every step of the way from childhood into adulthood, into eternity. The Hebrew literal order of the words here is like verse 26. I mentioned this morning, good. It starts with good. So verse 25, good is the Lord unto them that wait. And then verse 26, good it is that a man should hope. And then verse 27 also, notice again, good it is for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. So three times there you've got good. The beginning of each of those verses, good, good. What do you think is being emphasized? Good. Let's not miss that. Good, good. If I were to read those sentences to you like that in English, you'd pick up on the repetition. And the scriptures do that to emphasize good, good, good. It's good to wait on the Lord. And in this case, it's good to wait on the Lord the way he says to wait. Quietly this morning and in this verse tonight, it's good to wait on the Lord by seeking him in the waiting. There with you in the waiting. Seeking his presence and his fellowship and enjoying that fellowship. You know, if someone's sitting next to you on the bus or on a park bench and you don't recognize they're there, or you're so distracted by your worries and cares that you neglect to think, to talk, and seek comfort, it's not that they're not there, it's just that you're kind of not there, though that's where you are. And there's the opportunity to recognize the Lord is with you through everything. Now remember this, what does the Westminster Shorter Catechism number 4 teach us? That God is infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably good. He's gloriously good. So therefore, to those who seek him, the Lord, he does good to them first part of the verse, he does good to you. Why? Mainly because he shows himself to be with you there in your waiting. And he is infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably good himself. So how good it is to find he's there with you, walking with you through the waiting. Isn't that lovely? He doesn't just call on you to wait. He walks with you along the way. John Calvin, speaking of this verse, writes this. We must then remember that the prophet says here that they alone hope in God who from the heart seek him. That is, who acknowledge how greatly they need the mercy of God, who go directly to him. Wherever any temptation harasses them, and who, when any danger threatens them, flee to his aid, and thus prove that they really hope in God. And that's an aspect of proving to yourself that you really are hoping in God, that you're waiting in on him, and in the waiting that you're seeking him in your waiting there with you. I want to remind you of what we opened our worship time with. Psalm 46, 1 to 2, verse 10, verse 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 7 of what you sang this morning. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Now, it's not just like this abstract thing of like he just gives it to you because you know him savingly. No, the Holy Spirit makes you born again, makes you know, love, and love Christ in and with, in union with Christ. With the Lord, with him is mercy. With him is plenteous redemption. It's not far away. It's right there always encompassing you. He is everywhere present. Or as we often say, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So he's certainly right there with you. In your waiting, seek him in it. Find comfort in him, with him. Acts 17, verse 27, Paul says, he be not far from every one of us. But of course, that's especially for the sheep of the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always with the sheep, rain or shine, thick or thin. And so he calls on you to be content. Why? What's the main reason he calls upon you to be content? Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He calls on you to wait, and he's right there with you in the waiting. Seek him out in it, to be comforted by his presence, that you and I are so prone to forget and overlook. But when we have a good friend, a companion with us, waiting with us, please wait with me through something. It's such a different experience. There's a fellowship in it. There's a hope in it. Jesus is always there. He is never going to leave. You don't have to cry, please don't leave me. He does not leave. He's waiting on you. He's waiting with you. Listen to this. Isaiah 30, verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Notice that the Lord waits for you. So how blessed are you to wait for him and find him there with you in your waiting? Matthew 11, 28 to 29. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Beloved, let this scripture next always be your testimony, because it is always your reality when you seek and find in your waiting on the Lord. Psalm 73, 23 to 28. "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee." Now that's you speaking to the Lord, but why? "Thou holdest me by my right hand." It's just like with our kids, right? We're walking, this is something that's constantly doing. I'm grabbing the hands of my young ones when we're walking through even just the parking lot, one of the most dangerous places. "Get your head up, look around, grab them, you know." Why am I with you? Because you've got me. You've grabbed my hand. Again, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Indeed, Psalm 145, verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." And children, that word "nigh" is an older English word that means near. The Lord is near. He's not far away. He's near. As you pray and call upon him, in the truth of the scriptures, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, he's near. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. I want to review some of our devotion from Friday night at the Puritan Feast we enjoyed together, from Donald M. McKim's book, Everyday Prayer with the Puritans. And one of them was the idea of waiting on God. That's the devotional we looked at, waiting on God. And he said, "To wait on God can point us toward a continual sense of living in the presence of God." See, that's the idea tonight. The good thing is to sense God, who is goodness, in your presence, there with you in the waiting. And then he quotes Matthew Henry, remember, that it says this: "It is our duty in the morning to speak to him in solemn prayer. But have we then done with him for all the day? No. We must still be waiting on him as one to whom we stand very nearly related." To wait on God is to live a life of desire towards him, delight in him, dependence on him, and devotedness to him. Now I want to repeat this part of that quote from Matthew Henry. "We must still be waiting on him as one to whom we stand very nearly related." Very close in communication. That's how we need to wait on him. And we need to be seeking him, seeking his counsel, seeking his comforting presence there to be enjoyed. If we seek him in the waiting, not just hoping for an answer, for what we think is the answer, and it may or may not be, God knows, we don't. But we always have him who is the answer in our presence to seek and find and enjoy the comfort of in the waiting. So Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 7, seek and ye shall find. And you will find that you have already been found. And you have never been lost by the great shepherd of the sheep. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And of course, in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. How can you say that? The shadow of death is scary. The thing that scares us more than anything else, especially those outside of Christ. How can you say you won't fear? The answer, for thou art with me. But we could be in danger of not seeking God's presence in our waiting through that shadow. And not have the same comfort that's there to be had of him there. Thou art with me. Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Remember Deuteronomy 1, verse 31. God speaks of how he brought his people Israel through the wilderness. He says, like a man that carries his son. You see, he's always there. He's always near. He's always walking with you. He's always in your midst. Don't be afraid to find him in your waiting. Don't be afraid to look. He will be found there always. And it's good for you to do so, the scripture says. I want you to remember the famous poem, Footprints in the Sand. One night, I dreamed a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. When the last scene of my life shot before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. There was only one set of footprints. I realized that this was at the lowest and saddest times of my life. This always bothered me. And I questioned the Lord about my dilemma. Lord, you told me that when I decided to follow you, you would walk and talk with me all the way. But I'm aware that during the most troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I just don't understand why, when I need you most, you leave me. He whispered. Now, notice the response to the seeking him. He whispered. My precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never, ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. But we often think it's our footprints. And therefore, we don't recognize and enjoy his comfort in those moments. That's right there. It's good to seek him. It's good to wait on him. How? Seeking him. Beloved, the Lord will do good to you by showing himself to you when you seek him as you wait on him. Not only, again, looking ahead, waiting for his answer, but looking around and looking within and finding him present. And there is never, ever any greater comfort you can have than coming to a more coming to more of a realization of that fact. Psalm 73, once again. The greatest thing that can bless you in waiting on the Lord is to recognize you're waiting with the Lord. And the Lord is there waiting with and waiting upon you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Seek him out. You'll find him there. You'll have a special fellowship there as you move on closer together. While waiting, seek the Lord's presence. That's the message for you this evening as we study some of the hows given to us in the scripture of how to wait. We know where to wait. How do we wait? Well, again, wait on the Lord patiently. Wait on the Lord quietly. And while waiting, seek the Lord's presence. That's the message for you. While waiting, seek the Lord's presence. Let us pray. Lord, let us seek for you and know that you will be found. And not far away, coming in the distance, but right here, in our moments. Forgive us that we look beyond you, we look around you. Even as we're praying to you and trying to wait on you and for you, we need not wait a long time. We need not wait a second. We may seek you and find you as we seek you with our heart in truth. You are near, we who call upon you. And so we call upon you. We pray by your Spirit. We call upon you in truth. And we pray that right now, for each one of us, and whatever you've called upon us to wait on, and wait on you for answers, for direction, help us to see you here with us in each of our moments, in each of our situations, and find comfort. And have a good sleep. And look forward to a new morning. And its new mercy to enjoy. Because you're still right there with us. Great is thy faithfulness. O Lord, increase our faith to see you with us. Lord Jesus Christ, great shepherd of the sheep, who will never leave us nor forsake us. We pray in your holy name and all your people said. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the media ministry of the Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church in San Diego, California. If you are blessed by our sermons and would like to help keep our little church going as a ministry partner with your cheerful gifts, please click on the Give button at the top of any of our sermon audio pages to support us with your online donation. Or visit our website at puritanchurch.com and click through the Give button at the top right of your screen. And if you prefer to send your support through the mail, please make your check out to Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church and send it to Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church, 6374 Potomac Street, San Diego, California, 92139. Thank you.